Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Religious principles that obstruct one from following his own religion are called Vidharma. Religious principles introduced by others are called Paradharma. A new type of religion created by one who is falsely proud and who opposes the principles of the Vedas is called Upadharma. An interpretation by one's juggling of words is called Chaladharma. Purport. To create a new type of dharma has become fashionable in this age. And Prabhupada is using the word dharma in a very broad sense of the term. In reality, dharma, of course, is not just applying necessarily to anything specifically, at least in terms of real religion or real dharma. But this day and age, of course, there's so many unlimited branches of so-called religions. I don't know how many branches there are of Christianity or Hinduism or whatever, but there are so many. Even in Islam and Buddhism, there are many branches. So-called swamis and yogis support that one may follow any type of religious system according to one's own choice, because all systems are ultimately the same. In Srimad Bhagavatam, however, such fashionable ideas are called Vidharma, because they go against one's own religious system. The real religious system is described by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvadharman paratyagya mamekang sharanam vraja. The real religious system is that of surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with the Jamil's deliverance, Yamaraj says, dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. Real religion is that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as real law is that which is given by the government. No one can manufacture actual law at home, nor can one manufacture actual religion. Elsewhere it is said, Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir dhokshaje. The real religious system is that which leads one to become a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, anything opposed to this religious system of progressive Krishna consciousness is called Vidharma, Paradharma, Upadharma, or Chaladharma. Misinterpretation of Bhagavad Gita is Chaladharma. When Krishna directly says something and some rascal interprets it to mean something different, this is Chaladharma, a religious system of cheating, or Shabdabit, a jugglery of words. One should be extremely careful to avoid these various types of cheating systems of religion. So yesterday we heard from Prahlad Nandamarsh, to some extent, the different types or different... Practically, they're unlimited. People have all kinds of ideas of religion, what it means. There are practically unlimited varieties of these different types of irreligiosity or misinterpretations of actual religion. Even Buddhism is basically Upadharma in a sense, because it is not, although it is, of course, connected. Lord Buddha being an expansion of the Lord coming for a particular purpose, but in of itself, it does not. Religion is supposed to come to the purpose as mentioned here, the lotus feet of the Lord. It is not directed towards that. Irreligion is one of the definitions, or pretentious religion is anything which covers the pure identity of the soul. So most of the religions today are not, although they are understood to be connected, at least in their origins, to the purpose or to real religion, in most cases, they deflect people's consciousness away from that. Sometimes, as Prabhupada mentions here, Chala Dharma, the word juggling or the false interpretation and so on and so forth, changing the teachings to satisfy one's particular whim, sensual desires, interpreting it in such and such a way, be it material or desire for material sense gratification or impersonal liberation or whatever it may be. So many interpretations are there according to one's how one would like it to be. That's why Prabhupada has entitled Bhagavad Gita as it is, not as I would like it to be. But most people's interpretation, even of any scripture, is more and more in the mood of as we would like it to be, changing the in words or the connotation of the meanings of various statements and so on, or removing certain statements, sometimes even adding certain things, and so on and so forth, which change the actual essential purpose of the meaning. So, like any dharma, is not something to be tampered with, although there may be many different layers, you could say, or many different stages. As in education, there are many different stages. And another aspect of, say, paradharma, or against one's situation is, like, for instance, with the Varnashram system, real religiosity begins with the implementation of Varnashram. And when people start to change that, either by, you know, nowadays they have, because of caste system, now they call it caste system, whereby people are just adamant in many cases that born in a family, that's your caste. And, you know, it's, although we heard yesterday that there is a common thing now for the Brahmins to be, they become, what is it? Yeah, well, Gavi Chandrama said the Brahmins have become GBC, good bathroom cleaners. But they're not very good at that. That's a joke, he tells them. Don't take it seriously. But the Brahmins are, you know, engaged in all kinds of nonsensical things, in one sense, as far as Brahminical duties are concerned. Riding rickshaws, looking after toilets, all kinds of different things. And yet they claim to be Brahmins, so it's detrimental to the actual religious principle of Varnashram. And sometimes people who are unqualified are taking a position of leadership, and even spiritually sometimes, so-called spiritually, being placed in positions of leadership. So many are making their own religious concoctions. You don't need to do this. You can do anything you like. It's all one. And so on and so forth. They become very impersonalistic in conclusions, basically speaking. And then others have, of course, very much have the idea that religion is to satisfy. It's a very common thing nowadays that religion, the purpose of religion, is to fulfill your material intentions. And if a little bit more deeper, to relieve you of your sinful reactions, but not to relieve you of your sinful intentions. Or maybe a little bit further up, simply to liberate you from the material world so that you can merge into the impersonal Brahman or become God or something like that. All different types of concoctions or, let's say, a pretentious religious movements are there. And the same thing today is Gundicha Marjana, cleansing of the Gundicha temple. Something I'd like to just link up, actually, is I was walking around the grounds this morning and went to the Goshal and looking at the lake, and I was so inspired to see how nicely maintenance and cleanliness and so on in general so nicely done. It's a great credit to the managers and the devotees serving here in Bhaktivedanta Manor, because I know how much Srila Prabhupada very much wanted that. Of course, it's inseparable from real religiosity. Cleanliness, actually, basically speaking, is a process, cheto dharpana marjanam, cleansing the heart of all these falsities. all these other, whether it's Paradharma or Upadharma or Chaladharma or whatever type of pretentious religion it is, all these things may be there, but unless they're connected to Krishna, they remain as a distraction for the soul. They don't help the soul to achieve the real purpose of human life. So walking around, see how nice and clean and tidy and attractive the grounds are, and even the lake. I didn't study with great intensity, but it looked neat and tidy and clean. And they were very nice, inspiring, very inspiring. And how much Prabhupada would be very pleased. And when he would come here to the manor in the 70s, so one of the main things he used to emphasize was cleanliness, looking, see if there was any, even leaves lying on the ground unnecessarily, and old twigs and this and that. Prabhupada would point everything out. And in 1977, when Prabhupada came here to the manor, we had 3 or 4 days' notice of Srila Prabhupada's coming to the manor. And just like now, many of the devotees have gone on a book distribution marathon. We were having non-stop, and I'm sure Prahlad Nandamaraj, anyone who was here at the time, will remember those. We were all out on non-stop marathon book distribution. Those were cleaning up, in a different way of cleaning up. But we weren't cleaning up the manor. We may have been cleaning up on the street, in terms of book distribution or whatever it was we were doing. But in the manor, things were a little bit disheveled. And we knew that Srila Prabhupada would always check to see these things. So there weren't many of us left back at the manor. It was a very small crew. And we had 3 days' notice, and the devotees were scattered all over the place. We even had devotees in Iceland and Ireland and all sorts of places wherever we could get in to distribute books. And they would take a while for them to come back, so because we informed everybody. But meanwhile, we had to try to clean up the manor, knowing that this would be a priority to Srila Prabhupada. We tend to be extreme sometimes. We all have, and the weather was nice, and all of a sudden, when we received this message from Srila Prabhupada, it started, about Srila Prabhupada's coming, it started to rain like anything. For 3 days, it practically didn't stop raining. And we were out there, in the rain, trying to clean up the gardens, clean up the lake. I remember Raghavir at the time, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj now, up to his neck practically in the lake, getting all the garbage out of the lake and so many things. It was such an austerity in that sense. And we were getting cold and shivering and sick. And it was a real lesson to be learned, and how much Prabhupada appreciated that not just when he comes that we paint the wall, that we clean the gardens, or that we get it together to come to the morning program or whatever it is. But Prabhupada wanted we do these things on a regular basis. Religion is not a one day a week affair. Religion isn't the real religion, it's the nature of the soul, and whatever we call it, it's different types of ideas that people have of religion nowadays. If it doesn't awaken our dormant affection towards Krishna, Shrama Evi Kevalam, Dhamma Sunishitak Punksham Vishvaksena, Katasya Nopadiya Dhyadivading, Shrama Evi Kevalam. It's a waste of time, complete waste of time. Simply living a pious life, another aspect of Upadharma is the idea that, religion means just to be pious, without really any understanding what the real nature of the soul is, not just to be materially pious. And these things are there, and very few are teaching this real religion, which Prabhupada mentions here, Sarva Dharma Parityagya, Amikama Sharanam Bhajam, complete surrender, give up all other forms of shelter. That includes ultimately Varnashram. Varnashram is a stepping stone to surrender. But we have to give up, stepping stones only lead us to the other shore, to the other side. So Of course, that doesn't mean we condemn it, because it's necessary, and all these things at certain stages, if they're actually bona fide, even worship of the demigods, we heard from Maharaj yesterday about Kali Puja and so on, how it, in its proper form, is connected to the Vedas, so for some people it's a very important step. But it doesn't mean one stays on that step forevermore. That's another form of paradharma or false religiosity, to come to the conclusion that the step is the end of the path. It's not. It's a step towards the end. And those who are more advanced understand that, and they don't condemn it in any way, but they encourage people on that particular step to make the next step. To be on the right step, another false religion, is to be on the wrong step. Now, all these things sometimes creep in to our own endeavors to practice devotional service, practically all of them. Thinking that devotional service is to attain some material position, to get free of suffering, to, you know, whatever it may be, you know, and we can interpret it to satisfy our own sense enjoyment. Sometimes impersonalism comes in, all these various things sometimes creep in. Or we get completely hung up on the rules and regulations, completely forgetting what the goal is. Or, you know, we get totally fixated in the form, forgetting the substance entirely. You know, the goal of what we're doing. You know, which ultimately, we talk about it, but maybe we don't necessarily imbibe it as much as we could, you know, to develop our relationship, our loving relationship with Krishna. To do what we're doing for the pleasure of Krishna, sometimes we're doing it for our own pleasure, collectively or individually. Sometimes party politics creep in. Sometimes envy of others creep in. That's another sign of pretentious religion, envious of others. You're envious of other religious groups. One who's actually on the right path is not envious of anyone. Maybe transcendental envy of those who are actually fixed in pure devotional service, but that's a different thing. So these things may sometimes creep into our own. Sometimes in our whole life, you can say, it's very easy to point out faults in situations around us. It's one aspect, you can say, of necessary understanding and knowledge, but it's, we also have to see in our own hearts, the process of cleansing our own hearts is the primary activity. And seeing how, you know, anartas, unwanted things may creep in. So today's event, this Gundicha Marjana, is very significant in this regards to Lord Chaitanya's, is giving this pastime for the devotees to help us to become aware of and free of the danger of becoming ourselves, as we mentioned yesterday, that we have to stop or get rid of, was it yesterday? Yes, must abandon these various kinds of irreligion. So these types of irreligion or behavior contrary to the purpose of pure bhakti have to be abandoned, maybe not all at once. And that's another, you can say, challenge. Sometimes we don't know how to acknowledge it's one thing, but how, where, and when circumstantially to apply it is even more significant practically than the knowledge itself. And Papa gives many examples of, you know, medicine, for instance, knowing the condition of the patient and to what degree one gives a particular kind of medicine to the patient. To see the condition of the patient as well. The goal is to become healthy, but one has to know, you know, what the patient needs at a particular stage. It also applies in devotional service. There are general things and details. We'll get into that. But the general principle, whatever stage we're on, is one of cleansing our hearts, and that's the purpose, step by step, of, it was one stage, you know. It's not the only effect of Sankirtan or the Sankirtan movement. But that's the first stage, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, to cleanse the heart. Without cleansing the heart, one cannot really. Vishaya Charya Kabe Shudahabhiman Kabehama Hirabo Shri Vrindavanam. We can expect to enter into Vrindavan if our heart is covered by all these dirty desires, and so on and so forth. And sometimes we're in devotional service, we're eyeing things up as objects of sense gratification, be it what it may. All sorts of things, the modes of nature. Sometimes we're trying to take shelter of the modes of nature, but the whole thing is to take shelter of Krishna. Ultimately, this is the point. Our business is, that's the business of the soul. Takes in real religion, if it doesn't help us to develop that, something's wrong. We have to see what is wrong. It may not be the process, it may be the application, it may be something we have to look at. But of course, we can't expect in the beginning that we're going to suddenly experience the love of God, but there has to be, we expect there's some progress. And to understand what progress is, also we have to hear from those who are more advanced, because on the platform of progress in spiritual life, sometimes the anartas come to the surface. And again, without some understanding, we may identify the anartas or the unwanted desires, etc., as being a symptom of devotional service or something. And then we may start to become critical of devotional service or of other devotees. We may start blaming others, we may start blaming the process, we may, and so on. So that's another kind of, covering, or another kind of obstacle which we may face. But it's not an obstacle. If we see it in the proper light, is actually a stage of purification. Because Prabhupada gives a simple example. Of course, when we're cleaning a room, naturally at first we may not be aware of the extent of the dirt within the room. But as we clean, we may come across all kinds of dirt which we were not even aware was there before. Or if you're trying to make, we used to make ghee out of butter. Now you generally buy the ghee as it is, I believe. Well, you still make ghee perhaps from fresh cow's milk. But we didn't have fresh cow's milk in the early years. And we would get very cheap butter from some source. And we would turn it into ghee by boiling it slowly for hours and hours. As you boil the butter, which looks very nice and clean, gradually all this stuff surfaces. Some kind of solids come out of the butter, and you have to scoop them off. You keep scooping them off, scooping them off, scooping them off, until the ghee becomes pure and clean. So similarly, our hearts, as we chant and associate, render service and so on, and for an ordinary person it doesn't even think about it, and all the desires, be they what they may, the aparabdhas, desires for reactions from our past life, come to the surface in due course of time. In different lifetimes they keep coming up. But for a devotee, sometimes it becomes up a little quicker, and it may be a little bit, oh, geez, I've got more material desires now than I had before I came, sometimes we hear devotees say. But it's just the already existing desires, which have not yet surfaced, coming up sometimes, and now here's the chance to get rid of them. So Lord Chaitanya is teaching us how we can do that in this pastime of Gundicha Marjana. So we're going to read something now from Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Mandalila. Excuse me. Utility is the principle. Tesco plastic bag. This is chapter number 12 of the Madhya Lila. I'm not going to read the whole pastime. Time does not allow. I'm going to read one verse where Prabhupada gives a purport commenting on Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's commentary on this pastime. And it basically summarizes the practical essence of the pastime. Perhaps you're not aware of the pastime. I'll briefly summarize it. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is residing in Jagannath Puri with his devotees. Many, not all of them, many of them are there, many of them are in Bengal and other places. And the time is coming. Rath Yatra festival is approaching. Tomorrow is the official day of Rath Yatra. So the day before the Rao, actually 2 days before the Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired, because he wanted to clean the temple of Gundicha. Now the temple of Gundicha is about 2 or 3, maybe 2 miles from the temple of Jagannath in Puri. It's an old temple, and at that time of Rath Yatra, Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra leave their temple in Sri Kshetra. They go down Grand Road and they go on procession in their Rath carts and to the Gundicha temple. And then they stay in the Gundicha temple for 1 week thereabouts before returning back to their temple in Sri Kshetra. So Lord Chaitanya desired to clean the temple of Gundicha for Lord Jagannath's arrival. So he approached Kashi Mishra, one of the priests staying in Kashi Mishra's house, and the superintendent of the temple of Gundicha, and requested that he would be able to clean the temple. So immediately the superintendent, he said, "This is not a suitable service for you, but if you so desire, I am at your service, whatever you want." So they provided the Lord, and King Prataparudra had given the standing order to the superintendent and to his servants to provide Lord Chaitanya and his followers with everything they needed. Although the Lord was not willing to see the king was doing every service he could for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was another pastime which comes up tomorrow, but we will leave that to someone else. So Lord Chaitanya was very excited and enlivened to get the opportunity to clean the temple. Just like everyone here, when we get the opportunity to clean the temple, we become very excited and enlivened. And we think, how wonderful, how the most fortunate person in the universe. What mercy I've got. The opportunity to clean the temple. So when we ask, "Prabhus, we need someone to clean the prasadam room after prasadam. Would anyone like to do it?" "I'm sorry, Prabhu, I'm very busy. I've got to rush off, the children, to this, to that." 1 hour later, you're still sat there chatting away. I see it so many times. We're missing a golden opportunity to clean our heart. And what are we chatting about? The dirt in our heart most of the time. It won't go away by chatting about it. We've got to chuck it out. And the chucking process is cleaning. Cleaning. Now this is only one aspect of cleaning. It's such a wonderful thing. I mean, we all, those who know Prabhupada, was so serious about cleaning. Sometimes he would even, when London, we asked him, one devotee, Kulashekhar, asked Prabhupada in the class, "Prabhupada, the temple's dirty. Should we have Bhagavatam class or clean the temple?" Prabhupada said, "You should clean the temple." Temple's clean. Don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining, I'm just giving this as an example. But this principle is there. Cleanliness is godliness. Sometimes we only hear it next to God, but it is godliness. You can't have godliness without cleanliness. They don't go together. So, Prabhupada was so keen. Sometimes he would get off the asasana if there was some dirt and come down and clean it himself. I'm so serious. Chanting. This is internal cleanliness, but without the external cleanliness, it's not going to, let's say, take off. Because it's not a mechanical process. Cleansing the heart, although we have our part to play, is ultimately we depend on the Lord. He cleanses the heart. Srinivatamsvakata Krishna, Punyashravana Kirtana. We do our part, but really we're depending on Him. He is the pavitram, He's the purifier, cleanser of the heart. So we have to, learn to act in a way for His pleasure, for Radha Gokulananda. Belongs to Him. It's a chance to make Him smile, or them smile. The Prabhupada was always teaching this cleanliness, so important. I have to get on to talk more on that, but there's no time. So Lord Chaitanya has gone ahead, and first of all, he's gathered all the devotees. They've got brooms, they've got pots full of water waiting. They've got brooms and they're using their own cloth and so many things. And Lord Chaitanya, the doors are busily cleaning all the dust. And Lord Chaitanya asks them to gather it all up, and he looks to see who's got the most dust. And he glorifies those who have the most dust and chastises those who don't have so much dust. And he asks those who've got more dust to teach those who've got less dust how to get more dust. It's exciting, you know, to gather up the dirt and the dust and to throw. We don't just throw it outside, but we put it in the appropriate place. Sometimes we just throw it out the window or out the door. No, we have to put it in the appropriate place. This is not India. It was only dust. Nowadays it's all sorts of stuff. And anyway, they did that once and then they did it again. And this is to go finer. The one is the externals. The externals, stopping nonsense activities which are detrimental to the purpose of religion. But that's all right. That's essential. That's good. That's what religion's for, to regulate and finally to remove that which is detrimental to our relationship with Krishna. And then to go deeper, the internal, the subtle dirt or dust within our consciousness, to clean out. So again they went ahead with their brooms and brushes and with their own cloth, cleaning everything, sweeping this, that, and the other to the fine dust and sweeping it outside till everything was spotless. Then the pots of water came, hundreds and thousands of pots of water, throwing the water, cleansing them, the temple left, right, and center. And as they're doing it, everyone's chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So we used to do the same thing. After morning class, we would generally take prasad, and sometimes we would do it before prasad, like different times. But there would be a 30 or 40 minute cleansing program where every devotee from the temple president to the guest would be cleaning the temple. As soon as a guest come, immediately a broom would be in their hands. I've got a benediction for you. Here's an opportunity for some nectar. Take this broom. Let's sweep the floor together. It was so exciting. And everybody was chanting from the top to the bottom of Bury Place. The whole temple was vibrating with the holy name. It wasn't everyone was like, you know, plugged into goodness knows what. And when I asked, what you listen? Oh, I'm listening to Prabhupada lecture. From pop music or something going on there. I don't know what the hell it is. Oh, I'm listening to bhajan. Some latest, you know, new age pop music in the name of Hare Krishna or something. There's nothing but guitars twanging and things like that. We're all chanting together. Very purifying. Very, very purifying. And very uniting. Removes another, you know, you can say, pretentious religion of thinking, you know, I'm doing this, and they're, why am I doing this, and they're doing that, why am I not, why they're not doing, you know, all these things creep in sometimes in the neophyte stage. We all chant together, we all do this, take prasad together, and so on and so forth. This is a very powerful program. So anyway, that was there. So then Lord Chaitanya took all the pots of water and they're washing everything shine, and with his own cloth he's polishing the altar, polishing the floor, going outside the Jagan Mohan era, outside the temple, cleaning outside, not just inside. That's what we also have to preach. We have to go outside and preach, otherwise that's the most important part. Also the cleansing program. So many aspects to this pastime. So that was going on. Now we're just going to read this purport. This is the comment. In commenting on the cleansing of the Gundisha temple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the world leader, was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. So Lord Jagannath going to the Gundicha temple, going from from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan, how to receive him. We have to, even the concept of reverence on the higher levels or the worship of Lakshmi Narayan is also cannot be there if we want to actually receive Krishna in our hearts. That's on a high level. At this stage, at least the practical aspect of it, to evoke the mercy of Krishna, that he will see that we're seriously trying to act in a way for his pleasure, then he will cleanse our hearts. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart as prescribed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sikshastakam. That reminds me, one time in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was talking to some Indian gentleman, and Panchadravida Prabhu came in to see Prabhupada. He had his own ambition, but that's another story. And Prabhupada asked him, "How are things in Bombay?" as it was then called. And he said, "Not so good, Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "What's wrong?" He said, "The temple is very dirty." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, that means you're not chanting your rounds." "No, Prabhupada, we're chanting our rounds." Prabhupada repeated the same thing. There were rats and this and that. But Prabhupada said, "No, that means you're not chanting your rounds." He didn't get the point. Prabhupada then quoted Chaito Dharpana Marja, "If you're actually chanting your rounds, you will not, things will be clean. And then we're not like living in a bubble. The whole world belongs to Krishna. Devotee doesn't like to see dirt anywhere, be it in the temple, out of the temple, in the heart, out of the heart, anywhere. Dirt is not some, because it's displeasing to Krishna. Even in the spiritual world where there's no dirt, the gopis are constantly cleaning. In this age, everyone's heart is especially unclean, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vijantak Stohya Bhadrani. To wash away all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam confirms, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtues when properly heard and chanted. To come to that point of relish in the messages, the previous verse describes a shushusho shudadanasya vasudeva gatarichi sian mahatsevya vipapunya tirthane shavanat. We have to serve those devotees who are pure. So their mirth and Krishna reciprocates. You have to serve them. The relationship develops and Krishna reciprocates. If a devotee at all wants to cleanse the heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Sri Krishna, Srinvatam, the Lord Sri Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. He didn't reveal himself in the dirty heart. You can't see things in dirty water. We have to cleanse the water, then you can see. We have to cleanse our consciousness. Krishna is already there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sajukabanai Shobanadi Shudachiti Kali Udai. Love for Krishna. Krishna's there. Love for Krishna's there. We just have to, like the sun rising in the morning, reveals everything. To cleanse our hearts by Shravananadi, hearing and chanting about Krishna. One has to keep his heart as clean as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gundicha temple. The devotee, therefore, has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains of sand, weeds, or dust, in other words, anyabhilasha punya, mostly we're talking about the things we were talking about earlier on, desire for sense gratification or seeing Krishna consciousness for that reason, desire for liberation, all these things are dirt, bits of straw, dirt, sand, unwanted things in the heart. They have to be cleansed out through devotional service, anyabhilasita shunyam, to be free without these abhilas, without these material desires. Anavita, uncovered. Unless it is free, one cannot enthrone the Lord in the heart. The heart must be cleansed of all these material motives brought about through fruitive work, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. Sometimes we get attached to other things which are maybe a little useful, we get attached to even yogic activities. We could use it in Krishna's service, it could be useful, but not that we become overly attached to it. all these different things. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We may become very attached to something like, you know, even simple living and high thinking or varnashram and all these things, you know, community, this, that, the other. Unless they actually really help us to awaken our love for Krishna, they're an impediment on the path of devotion. If they help us, then they can be useful. They may not be necessary, but they can be useful. Material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. In modern language, this is called economic development. An inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed. As Narottam Das Thakur sings, Sangsar vishanale divanishihi ajwali judaiti nakainupai. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity. Many people think that's religion, performing all these, you know, ritualistic things and so on. Charity, some people think that's religion. Austerity, elevation to the higher planets, most people think that's the goal of religion. These things, austerity, they're attached. They can all be, you know, say limbs to assist the achievement, but in of themselves they are not of any value. And even living happily within the material world. Modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. They're like dust. We become so attached to them, practically speaking, dependent on them sometimes. We have to give up all these dependencies in one sense. Doesn't mean we give up using them, but we give up being dependent upon them and become dependent upon Krishna. That's the verse Sarvadharma Pratyajna. We can utilize Varnashram, we can utilize material things, but we shouldn't be dependent upon them. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruitive activity, it overcomes the heart. Thus the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. We have to cleanse the mirror so that we're seeing a clean, in the clean mirror, we're seeing reflections of the pure spiritual world. That's why we constantly try to hear and chant about Krishna, so in our heart we're remembering Krishna. So that allows it, and although it may not be, you can say the absolute manifestation of the spiritual world is non-different. In one sense, it's non-different from the spiritual world. So by seeing that, it will take us to the spiritual world when we quit this body. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activity, but people do not know how life after life they are keeping their hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruit of activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. Karmis generally think that the interaction of fruitive activities can be counteracted by another karma. This is certainly a mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Such activities have been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out of the river, it immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it over its body. Most religions are like that. And we may be like that too. I mean, it's easy to point the finger at others, but I'd like to see it pointed at me. If one suffers due to his past fruit of activity, he cannot counteract his suffering by performing auspicious activities. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. Another falsity. The only way these sufferings can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. Otherwise we remain in illusion or in the dream, as Maharaj was describing earlier on when we were talking to me upstairs. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. When the heart is actually cleansed, one can clearly see the Lord sitting there without any disturbance. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord confirms that he sits within the heart of the pure devotee. Sadavodhidayam mayam sadhunam midayam tvaham. You have to read that yourself. 9.4.68. Impersonal speculation, monism, Speculative knowledge, monism means merging. Mystic yoga, meditation are all compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such activities, nor do we give the Lord a chance to sit in our hearts peacefully by material activity. Rather, the Lord is simply disturbed by them. Sometimes yogis and jnanis in the beginning take to the chanting of Hare Krishna as a way to begin their various practices, but when they falsely think they have attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up chanting. Another falsity. They do not consider that the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Such unfortunate creatures are never favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They do not know that devotional service, what it is, what devotional service is. We may also do that sometimes. We give up chanting for some false reasons, whatever it may be. So this is the same position in one sense. Tan ahang vishtakruran sang sareshu naradaman shipam jashang shuban apurishweva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. By his practical example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside, removed from our consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing the grains of sand would again come within. We have to keep a clean environment as much as we can. In this connection, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activity again comes into being within the heart. There are many types. You can read in the Madhura Kadambini and other scriptures describing some of these experiences. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity, but the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutinati, fault-finding, and pratishtasha, the desire for name and fame or for higher position, jiva-himsa, envy of other living entities, nishidhachar, accepting things forbidden in the shastra, kama, desire for material gain, and puja, hankering for popularity. These are all different things that may crop up even on the path of devotional service. The word kutinati means duplicity. As an example of pratishtasha, one may attempt to imitate Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, namely desires for women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or an avatar, an incarnation. The word jiva himsa in devotional service, one doesn't desire that in of itself at all. Of course, not to say that we shouldn't endeavor to become pure, but we don't want to become, desire is not to become a reputed devotee. Oh, my desire is to become a sannyasi, a guru, whatever it is, a GBC, or something reputed in the movement, a temple present, and have those, maybe they're there in the beginning. It's not the goal. The goal is to become a mere servant of the servant, servant, servant. The word jiva-himsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as paropakara, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitude place, he is engaged in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with mayavadis, he is also engaged in material activity. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, Mystic yogi or miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic, but all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regulated principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxicant, or meat. We're over time. Are we over time? A little bit. There's two more paragraphs. What shall I do? Finish? Vishwambar is nodding his head. Okay. To give us practical instructions, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleansing. His firm conviction, Prabhupada says. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed to the standard of clean marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. All these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all of these away. By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down, and we should observe the festival. Once the heart is cleansed, observe the festival by distributing prasadam and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleansing. And those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. The Lord was very pleased with those who would cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anartha nivritti, cleansing the heart of all material unwanted desires. Thus, the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir was conducted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. The end of that purport. It's a vast subject matter, something which we can talk with each other for on and on and on as time has expired. And there could be some comments and questions, but I don't know whether we're allowed to go further or not. Is there time for question or comment or not? Okay, if anyone wants, if you want to go for prasadam. Lord Chaitanya, after this pastime, of course, they were having kirtan throughout it, but then the kirtan really began. They really got into kirtan, dancing like anything. And then after, Lord Chaitanya was dancing and dancing, and then others were dancing, and kirtan was going on. Then they had massive prasadam. So this is a simple process. Cleaning, dancing, chanting, prasadam. That's Krishna consciousness. Book distribution, Harinam Sankhya, they're all part of that, deity worship. It's all part of the cleansing process.